today's scriptures out of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died in sin still live in it? It's the word of the Lord.
Go to the Lord again. Our Father, we thank you for your holy word, which is able to build us up. These scriptures that we've known, that were able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. This word that is a sure and steady anchor for the soul. This word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. This word that is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword that can go into our hearts and separate our conscience like marrow from bone. This word that is life-giving. And this word that is condemning. I thank you for it, Father. We would be lost. We could not fathom you apart from your word. Protect us from the evil one and teach us your holy word this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 that Stan read for us there says, what shall we say then? Well, if you're here for the first time this morning, you're like, okay, you got to catch me up. I don't know what that means. So the first part of this is going to be catch up and to put this in context. And I hope to do so to the point that you get uncomfortable. I hope that the context of Romans 5:21 makes many of you squirm. To the point that you're like, Tom, you better get off the edge of the cliff. The context is these verses in the end of Romans 5, 18 through 21, where Paul says in summation, therefore, as by one trespass led to condemnation for all, that one trespass is Adam's sin in the garden. And he has laid out all through chapter 5 that we're all in Adam, and in Adam all die, all are condemned, all are sinners, all are ungodly. Those are the four words used throughout that. He says, as one. So when you see that as, he's making a comparison here. He's bringing up two things. So on one side, he says, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. So here you have the as now. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. So he brings up these two things in Romans chapter 5. In a summation, he says, just like one condemnation, Adam's sin, condemned everybody, condemned mankind. So one act of righteousness, that's Jesus Christ's life, Jesus Christ's death on the cross for sinners that he's laid out in Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, and the first part of 5, leads to justification and life. We remember that this justification means it's a declaration from God saying, you're righteous. He imputes it to us. He reckons it to us. He considers us righteous. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, that His death is our death, that His resurrection is our resurrection, that His blood paid for our sins, God considers us to have the righteousness of Jesus. That's what He's laid out. So a simple way to do that is just picture God in heaven looking down at people. And those that have faith in Jesus, he sees Jesus. He sees his righteousness, his goodness, his life. And he's as pleased with them as he is with his own son, Jesus. So don't get caught up by the word all there, because he says it another way in the next verse, in verse 19, as by one man's disobedience, again looking at Adam, many were made sinners, so by, he uses the word many there, but he's just making a point, is what he's doing. Many were made sinners by what Adam did. So by one man's obedience, that's Jesus, the many will be made righteous. So as we learned in Romans 5, every human being is in Adam, and those that have faith in Jesus Christ are in Him. So God considers all humans in Adam, and He considers those who have faith in Jesus in Christ. And when God, the omnipotent being of the universe, considers something, that's what it is. Okay? That's imputation, if you remember. So He says this in verse 20. Look at this. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. If you remember, the law was like a light and dirty room. The law is like the parent coming in and seeing what's under your bed, kids. It's just showing you that your attempts aren't good enough. The law came in to show you, to increase the trespass. Not to make you trespass, but to show you how much you are trespassing, sinning. To show how iniquitous you are. So that's why it came in. But, that's a strong but there, where sin increased. So as you learn more about sin, you see, as many people have said, the closer I grow to God, the more sinful I see myself. That's the first part of that verse. But where that happens, grace abounds all the more. That for those that are in Christ Jesus, the grace of God, that's unearned, unmerited favor that He gives freely as a gift in Christ Jesus. He's laid all this out, remember, in Romans chapter 3. That this grace abounds more. So every place sin grows, grace overtakes it. It abounds. Sin increases, grace abounds. So you could picture it like a race. Sin thinks, look how far I'm getting, and every time grace is going to be further. You could picture it like an umbrella. That the more rain's coming from different directions, every time grace is going to cover those drops. That wherever sin would appear, grace will overabound it, will abound it all the more. This is important. All the more. Okay? So that, now here's another comparison. So the purpose of grace abounding more, grace going further than any sin. Grace will outpace sin. Get that thought in your mind. So that, here's the purpose of that. As, here's the comparison. Sin reigned in death. So if you want to know what the reign, it's like a kingdom, right? Like a king or a queen reigning. What that looks like, think about death and sin. C.S. Lewis, I think I mentioned this a few sermons ago, talked about everybody, when World War II was starting and everybody's like, oh, the death rate is going to grow. He says the death rate has never grown. The death rate has stayed the same since the garden. One person born, one person dies. The death rate is 100%. We're going to die. So sin reigns in death. Every cemetery we go to, every time these tragedies happen, every time we see sin is the problem. And we know that because death is there. It reigned. And it reigned, how far does the kingdom go? Every human being. Because all die. Some die very young. Some die very old. But sin's reign gets all of us. That's one comparison. Compare that to, this is the purpose, just the way sin reigns and that it gets everybody in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Just like death gets all of us, grace will reign over the Christian all the way to eternal life. That's where that grace is going to outpace. So sin grows, grace goes further. How far will it go? All the way to eternal life. The end. The grace connects you to eternity in Christ Jesus. And nowhere in there is sin somehow going to get the lead and cut you short as a Christian. He's already made clear that this is for those that are in Christ Jesus. Okay? So sin gets all of us in death. So that's the type of reign we're comparing it to. So how far and how many get grace all the way to eternal life? Well, you have to compare it to the reign. Who slips through death's reign? Who slips through sin's reign? Nobody. So who's going to slip through grace's reign? Nobody. No Christian. No one who is justified by faith in Jesus Christ and given His Spirit will slip through some crack in grace. That's a big statement, folks. That's a big statement. Now, it reigns through righteousness, and that's what all of chapter 6 is going to be, is how does this, what's this reign look like? All by faith alone. For a person who is born again, wherever sin might grow, grace will cover that. If you're a born-again believer this morning, that's you. That's your future. It's not just your past. He's not talking about the past of Christians. We're talking about the future. John Piper wrote a book on future grace. If you're in Christ Jesus and you make it on this earth another 40 years, you know what awaits you in your 41st year? The grace of God in Jesus Christ through righteousness. It awaits you all the way there. That's good news. That's the good news of the gospel. Grace abounding all the more. John Bunyan wrote his testimony and called it grace abounding to the chief of sinners. That he just couldn't fathom that grace was as good as it is. Put plainly, if you are a true Christian, a genuine Christian, a real Christian, meaning born again, regenerated, created new in Christ Jesus, by faith alone, what we call saved, then you are righteous by faith in Christ, and there is no sin that is going to separate you from Jesus' righteousness. None. Of all the sins going through your mind right now, you're like, wait a minute. The reason is God's grace reigns. That's what he's saying. It reigns like a king. Let me tell you, dear saint, the rule of the reign of grace is ruthless, meaning that he will cede no territory in your life. There is no cavern there. I'm in English history again, and I'm just seeing moats and castles and kingdoms and mountains. And there is no place that you can get away in a cavern in sin, and the grace of God won't get there. There is no place you can go from the grace of God and His reign. This is an amazing statement. And then that's what makes us uncomfortable. It starts just to teeter in our mind. Well, what if I this? What if I that? Paul knows this. Paul is the one making this statement that grace is reigning like a king. No matter where sin goes in your life, dear saint, if you're in Christ Jesus, grace is over it, covered it, righteous. And Paul knows this, and he gets to our thoughts before we can even get them out. And so that's where verse 1 of chapter 6 goes. What should we say then? What are you saying? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? When Martin Luther taught this to his students, one of them said, It sure sounds like you're saying, I can do anything I want to do. Martin Luther's reply was, that's exactly what I'm saying. What is it you want to do? Because the answer to that question is what the whole rest of chapter 6 is about. Your want-tos, as we call them. What shall we say, Paul says. We know that he means grace reigns when he says grace reigns, because he follows it up with the rhetorical question, which is just a question to bring out the, to create the dramatic effect, to make a point rather than get an answer. He knows he's making a radical statement. So he asks this question to point it out even. He knows he's saying that you will not sin your way out of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And he knows you're going to say, what in the world then? Do we just keep sinning? Are we to continue in sin and just let it grow? That maybe I shouldn't even think about sin anymore? That maybe maybe it's okay if I just lie, cheat, and steal and anything else? If grace grows bigger, if it abounds, the more sin, maybe we should sin a whole bunch so there's even more grace. If God is most glorified in giving grace to sinners, why don't we just sin a whole bunch and make Him look really good? Sadly, this is almost a default position in Christianity in my lifetime. Because, man, when we get somebody that's been bad and we hear them come up and talk about their salvation experience, we're like, man, God's grace really looks good. But take the sweet girl that was praying in the first grade all the way through in high school, just loving Jesus and witnessing, going to the mission field, we hear her testimony, boy. So some of you are tempted to say, I wish I had a testimony like those other people. What should we say? Is that what we should do? Do we all need to run out and get a testimony with a bunch of sin? Side note here from one of my preaching heroes, Martin Lloyd-Jones. If your understanding of the gospel and the grace of Jesus Christ and the way you present it to yourself and to others doesn't lead to this moment where you're like, wait a minute, are you saying that? Are you saying that sin's going to be overcome by grace no matter what? If you don't come to this moment where those butt heads, you have not understood the gospel or grace properly. Because Paul's presentation of the gospel brings you to this moment of, whoa, wait a minute. Are you really saying, Paul, this sounds like you're saying we should just sin, that it's okay to sin? Now, I'll grant you this. In my lifetime, there's a lot of people that have misinterpreted that or not read it all, not tried to understand it, or even more heartbreakingly, been told from a pulpit that it doesn't matter what you do. And so they live their lives in wicked sin and rebellion against God. They're not in Christ Jesus. We're going to cover some of those in a future sermon series on false conversions. But if you understand the reign of grace, you're going to come in conflict with, well, does sin even matter? That's why Paul asked that question for you. And that's why he answers it in verse 2. And his answer is, by no means. You need to hear him say, like, no way. You need to hear him say, no way, Jose. Absolutely not, one translation says. King James says, God forbid. New American Standard says, may it never be. Even the NIV gets it right, and not at all. This is a strong statement. The strongest Greek statement you could make to indicate a repudiation even conveys the idea of outrage, indignation. Like if you say, I love my wife so much, it doesn't matter what she does, I'm going to love her. And somebody says, oh, well, then she can just go do this, that, and the other. And you're like, no, that's not what I'm saying. She can't just do all that, but I'm going to love her. And it shows what we're like when we go to those questions immediately. That we can't just rest and say, what a good husband to love a wife. We want to start pushing on him. Say, well, what about this? What if she says that? What if she goes there? This is a strong statement. I'm tempted, and I'm not because I love these children and I don't want them to confuse them. But one pastor told me one time in his study in this, and he was much more intelligent than I am. He said, it's like Paul pulling out curse words to draw attention to the statement and saying no. Curse word no. And so that the reader, when they read this, they would be like, whoa. He just went from grace reigns to, well, what do you say? Is it okay to sin? Like a slap across the face. What type of question is that? No way. Spurgeon says, an unchanged life is the mark of an unchanged heart. That's where we're going in Romans chapter 6. It's where Paul is taking us. An unchanged life is a mark of an unchanged heart. And an unchanged heart is a sign of an unregenerate life. A life that doesn't have that spirit, that's not justified. The whole spirit of the gospel is opposed to the idea of sinning because God is gracious. It is a horrible, satanic suggestion. End quote. That's what Paul's bringing out here. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? That's going to be the next three or four sermons. That question. That we have died to it, so we don't live in it. John says in 1 John 3:9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. That's his spirit. He cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. That's where we're going in Romans. These next few sermons are going to show that this union with Christ, union in his death, union in his resurrection, is such that it changes who we are. It changes those want-tos. It changes our hearts, and it will lead us to a holiness of life. So, how do you balance these two statements? Grace reigns over every single sin in a Christian. It will not separate them from God's love in Christ Jesus. Sin won't. And at the same time, don't be satanic and think you can keep sinning. What do you do with that? Those two statements are like Mack trucks colliding in my mind. And what we have in church history is people want to get in one truck and go one direction, or they want to get in the other truck and go the other direction. And if you get in the truck of grace reigns without the by no means, you're going to end up in what's called antinomianism, which is anti-law, which means the law doesn't matter. That truck throws the Ten Commandments off, unhitches from the law of God, and says anything you want. You're saved. It doesn't matter. And they'll mock anybody that says, but God says, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. And they just shout out the window as they lie, cheat, steal, murder, and adultery. Grace reigns. The other truck heads down the road of they unhitch from grace in Christ Jesus. They hitch up to the law of God, and they get the Ten Commandments. They make them big. They put a light on them. They'll put them in a courtroom. They'll put them in a yard. They'll bring them everywhere. Look at these rules of God. Keep them if you want grace. And the people in this lane are just burdened all the time. They get run over by that truck. It's called legalism, Phariseeism. And what Paul is doing here in Romans 5 and Romans 6 is saying grace really reigns over everything, dear saint. You do not have to hide or hang on to any sin. You don't have to run from God. You can run to God with every single sin in your life, every temptation. And at the same time, you are never allowed to make an excuse for the widest of sin, the smallest of sin. These verses are not in contention. You cannot weaken either one of those statements. These next few verses are going to show us how they go together and how grace can reign and we can hate our own sin and walk out of it by faith. It's called grace abounding. So apply it this way in your life. Some of you, how would you apply these statements, right? So some people need to hear, and some of you need to hear, grace abounds. And some people out there, and some of you in here, need to hear, no way, by no means, stop it. Like I think of that Bob Newhart skit. Three of you will have seen it, but the guy comes in, I got this problem, and his big help as a therapist is, stop it. That's what you need to hear. You don't need to know what your dad and mom did that might cause you to be bitter. You need to quit being bitter. There's no excuse for it. So someone you're sharing the gospel with, if they struggle to believe that God can forgive them of their sins, if they're like, but you don't realize what I did to that person, they need to hear grace reigns. When they say you don't realize what they did to me, they need to hear from you the grace of God reigns in Jesus Christ. There is no sin that will keep you from the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Some of you or some out there who's fighting against sin and the battle rages on. And you're like those war stories that we see and we hear, and a battle's won here and then lost here and then won and then lost, and it just rages. You need to hear grace reigns. You're going to win. Keep fighting. You need to hear He will not cast you out because of the thoughts that you can't cast out yet. Keep believing. Keep fighting. You need to hear that just because you woke up Friday morning saying, I'm not going to gossip at work, and then by first break or by mid-morning, you told something about somebody else and you felt condemned again. You need to hear grace reigns. That's what you need to hear. You need to hear yourself when everything is good in preparation for your fight against sin. You need to get it in your mind. Grace is going to reign in my life. There's no weapon more powerful in your fight against sin than the knowledge that Jesus has forgiven that sin. There is nothing coming in your life that will be a teeter-totter in God's love to you in Christ Jesus. Grace reigns there. And when you can tell Satan that, all of a sudden you're just free. You're free. You need to hear that. But others... When you're tempted to sin, you know, those little ones, like, it ain't that big a deal. You need to hear, no way, by no means do you keep doing this. For some of you that look at others in this room who fight hard against sin, say, that's for them. I don't need to be like him. I don't need to be like her. It's okay if I fill in the blank. No way. By no means, God forbid, never make excuse for any sin. I don't care if that sin is the click of a button, a vowel sound out of your mouth. I don't care if it's a thought, where you go, what you do. Don't make an excuse for it. By no means is that okay. Sin is always wrong. You need to hear that part of it. Those habitual sins that you make an excuse for. Like, it's just who I am. No, by no means continue in that. If it's because you're too serious or not serious enough. No way. For those that fight that battle and you know it's wrong, but you feel weak, and you're like, why even fight it anymore? I'm already this far down the road. Why does it matter if I go another mile? You need to hear verse 2. No way. I don't care if your struggle is against drunkenness and you're 4 days into a binge. You need to hear on day five, no way. If you fall on day five, you need to hear on six, no way. Stop. Quit making excuses. Whatever that sin is that just keeps tripping you up and you fall, you have to get up and say, no, by the grace of God, no more. So I don't know how to apply it to you. It all depends on where you're at today. In your relationship with Jesus and in your relationship with your sin. Christ Jesus died to forgive sinners and to make them holy. So where are you today? Are you in Adam still? Have you never confessed faith in Jesus Christ? Are you refusing to show the world in the baptism waters that I'm in Christ Jesus, I trust in Him? Do you think it's a myth? Do you think it's craziness? But yet you still can't stop the things that you know are wrong? I'm telling you, grace can reign. The resurrection power of Jesus can reign in your life if you're still outside of Jesus. Are you in Christ and just living immaturely, thinking that the pastors or the leaders or the teachers or those type of people are the ones that's going to read their Bibles and learn and struggle with against sin? You need to grow up. You need to hear that it's you. This isn't for other people, for super Christians. But here's who I think most of us probably are today. We're in Christ, but we're weak. We feel helpless sometimes. Sin gets the best of us. So why we call it falling into sin? You need to hear grace reigns. You need to hear keep fighting. Don't make an excuse. I was talking with Asia yesterday about something else and just talking about what a grace from God it was to have someone in my life that would say, I love you no matter what, quit justifying your sin and quit it. Just that simple, really. Because it's so easy over a cup of coffee or soda or ice cream or living room somewhere to really talk about sin in depth and why we do it and all how hard it is. But to just have a man of God come and say, you know what's wrong. Quit trying to trick yourself and act like this is right and stop by faith. It just really brings it down and makes it simple. Shall we continue, keep sinning? No. It really is that simple. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would bring the truth of these two statements from your word that you sent through Paul into the hearts and the minds of all who hear this, that grace reigns. And that as Jesus said, no one can pluck us out of the hand of our good Father. And Father, let us hear the words that you sent through your servant Paul. No way, Jose. By no means. God forbid that I would do the least sin. So Father, I ask that you would implant these two truths as foundation stones as you get ready to build how they can go together through Romans 6, 7, and 8. Let us never forget the weightiness of both of them, Father. And would you help us to all trust in Jesus Christ alone, not in our efforts, not in our fights, not in our faith, but in Jesus alone. Amen. Amen.